B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I've never seen a better connection between a player and a coach when these two got together. I mean, John had 400 clips of Antonio in the office. I walked in this morning. The two of them were sitting in there like little kids watching 400 cut-ups of Antonio. Everything he did. Everything. I mean, they were like little kids in a laboratory. And that's why we're so excited.
Do you have the Ryan Mallett sound? First round Martown. Boy, you should have seen the ball come off his hand. Oh, Mayock. Mikey Mayock. You should have seen John was in there. Like, hey, Harold, whippersnapper. Look at you on this little slice route here. I'll tell you what, that gets me all excited there. Huh? What do you think of that?
Two kids in a laboratory is terrifying.
Ryan Mallett popped to me today.
Yeah. Hey, What do you think Antonio Brown likes? Do you think he likes to sit in meeting rooms and just go over film like 400 plays in a row like Gruden? Gruden's in there at 4 a.m., and I know he's maniacal about it. What do you hear about you got to turn your mic on over. What do you hear about Antonio Brown as far as work ethic? Now, on the film.
Oh, his work ethic's awesome.
I know he busts his ass. Not physical, I'm talking mental.
The mental part of it, I think he does everything he needs to do. Like, I honestly believe that. Like, everything I've heard. I had somebody say to me, he is the hardest working player in our building, somebody there. And it's such a big gap from him to the next guy that I don't even know who'd be second.
What the F happened in Pittsburgh? Like, really? So if he's that in
a couple of things. All right. Like, so first, I think there was a feeling of not being appreciated, like that. I mean, which is like, look, he's a diva, so he's not, doesn't feel appreciated. I think the other piece of it was the relationship with Ben went sideways, and I know one thing that upset him was Ben talking about how everybody had to be all in and everything else, and then he skipped a bunch of the stuff in the spring. So Brown's like, what the hell? Like, you're telling everybody else how to do this, and now, and I think he noticed, like, if you look at the team as a whole, and this is why Bell.
It sounds eerily familiar about a guy talking about appreciation, or at least a guy's wife talking about appreciation, and then skipping stuff in the spring. I don't know. I can't think of another team where that's ever happened. But go ahead, Bert.
So, like, they get to the end of the year, right? So they get to the end of the year, and they're fighting for their lives. At one point, they look like they were a shoo-in for the playoffs. They're fighting for their lives at the end of the year. And I think Brown really felt like not everyone in the building was working at his level. And he felt like people should be following him, not following Ben or anyone else. Like, follow my example. I'm working my ass off here. I am fighting for everything. And I think that there was this feeling that he was trying to set a standard, and a lot of the other people in the building weren't working to his standard. And that's why the team MVP thing came in. The team MVP thing came in because it's like, wait a second. Like, not only are you not, like, going to the standard that I'm going to, you named Juju the team MVP? The guy who I open up everything for? And that's when he showed up to practice in a bad way that one day.
Yep.
Ben throws the ball at his feet, and he goes bananas, and he's out of there.
So is there, like, a culture there in Pittsburgh where it's the ultimate click between Tomlin and Roethlisberger, and then there's everyone else? Because that's what it feels like. I thought Tomlin was a pretty good player coach, but it seems like the only guy who's really got on his side right now is the quarterback.
Bell was different because Bell was kind of like, I think what you'd say about, like, the reason why Mayock traded for Brown is because he, like, feels like, you know how they talk about football character around here? Well, you're going to hear a lot of the stuff coming out of Oakland over the next couple of years that you've heard coming out of New England for 20 years for obvious reasons, right? And you hear them talk about football character. Well, what does football character mean? Football character means I can't take my next breath without football. Huh. And as much as Antonio Brown said, like, Antonio Brown says, like, I don't need football. It's a defense mechanism. He needs football worse than anybody, right? Bell wasn't that way. Bell was more interested in everything that came along with playing football, right? And so the Steelers saw him as, like, a little more disposable than Brown was. So you have all these people working on different levels and everything else. And I don't think it's a problem with the rest of the team. Like, I think the rest of the team's okay. But you had these two superstars that were sort of going in different directions. And then you had a quarterback who was either incapable or unwilling to pull everybody together. Like, if you know all this stuff's brewing, like, maybe you should show up in the spring.
All right.
Right? Like, well, if Ben knows all this stuff's brewing, like, maybe you should show up and be part of the solution rather than skipping everything for no reason.
There's more stuff to listen to out of Oakland right now.
I bring accountability. You know, I bring actions. You know, not what I say, what I do. You know, how I approach things. You know, holding guys accountable in the receiver room, developing a part. You know, challenging guys. If we drop a ball, you know, we're gonna have a part. Just super accountability. You know, holding. You know, maybe in the practice when I'm doing my jug machine, you know, bring the whole group over to see the jug machine. Oh, that way, every guy in the group knows, hey, we count on you to make that catch. You know, I'm there watching you work, making that catch too. Because when we all there, we there together. So, you know, bringing some of the principles and some of the things that make good camaraderie and build good teams. To some of the things I know, just, you know, whatever needed.
Jug machines,
totally. Yeah,
filming people while your coach is talking.
So what are you
going on Facebook Live? You bring a ton of accountability.
What are you bringing
this guy's
to the team?
A fraud. You know, no. And he's going to see it different. Like I
no,
think
no,
from
no,
a,
no, what?
From a work standpoint, I think he does bring accountability.
I think he sounds like a
I don't question his work ethic.
The problem is, so
what
the
are you
problem,
gonna bring? A jug machine?
The problem
Jesus,
is the,
you're in the NFL.
The problem
you
is
you don't know to go on a jug machine pre or post practice.
No, so he brings everybody over there.
Patriots do it every
everybody
day.
Watch.
Now this is like some there's a jug machine.
Everybody's watching those though.
Yeah.
There's accountability
That's
there.
Right.
And what he's saying is I'm a total hardo. Is now whether
the
he,
problem is,
whether
the problem
he is
the,
or not is a
see,
different story.
I think so. The problem is that he uses that credibility that he has from a work standpoint in like different ways. Like he uses it to like get away with whatever he wants to get away with. Right? Like so that's the problem is like you build this credibility because you outwork everybody and because you're a great player.
Yeah.
And then you use it against everybody, which is what Brown is. Like it's like, well, I work my ass off and I produce, so I can do whatever the hell I want. That's what that is.
Yep.
Right? Like that's
yeah.
exactly. And but, so if I'm pissed off, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna Facebook Live the locker room.
So he'll probably do that out there. And I tell you what, you should see he and Gruden together. They're like two little kids in there watching film together. So it's gonna be smooth sailing from here on out.
Well, that by the way,
in the first two games.
While we're here, did you guys see Gruden getting a little hot under the collar over the Amari Cooper thing?
Yes,
you guys see that?
I didn't hear that.
I heard it. Oh, it was fantastic. So a reporter brought up.
Well,
Jim,
hold on 1 second. I think Jim has it. He just needs a second to pull it up. But he goes into immediate, like, and this is something you don't hear out of Gruden a lot, like a defensive mode where he's not, I'm not automatically going to try and win you over here. He gets a little poly pissy pants.
He does.
Just his tiniest little bit.
The heat in the room went up a little bit because somebody brought up the comparison, like, Cooper, like you said, Cooper wasn't a great scheme fit. Like, how come is Brown a scheme fit? And this reaction wasn't to like explain why Brown's a scheme fit. It was like, why are you bringing up Amari Cooper again?
It's a whole new day here in Oakland.
You have a great imagination as a football coach when you coach a man like this. He can play split end, he can play flanker, he can play in the slot, he can return punts and sell popcorn at halftime. We're excited about this guy. And we're going to put him to good work.
Oh, Jesus.
I love Gruden.
So what I'm most excited about is when an Antonio Brown endorses the Oakland Raiders, and then a Trent Brown jumps in, and then LaMarcus Joyner jumps in on top, there's not only an energy in the building, but all of a sudden there's this energy around the NFL where other players want to come here.
Yeah, it's about energy. We've
had an awful lot of phone calls in the last 48 hours that are just exciting.
All of a sudden he turned into Buddy Nix in Buffalo. Remember
who
Buddy
was it,
Nix?
Was it Gruden that said last year like he was getting phone calls from random players wanting to come there?
No, do you remember Buffalo?
Was it Gruden?
It sounds like something Gruden would say, but it's important to remember that these are completely impartial endorsements. They're not getting paid. We all know that these players just choose a team to play on, and it's for a nonprofit endeavor known as the National Football
League. You got some work for me?
It's like a political endorsement. I'm not getting anything out of this. I just think this is the place to be. You paid Trent Brown.
Do you remember
Antonio Brown?
And they're going to Vegas in 10 months.
They're
going
to love it.
They're going to Vegas in 10 months.
Well, why do you think so many of these guys want to play in Oakland? Does that factor into it at all?
You get a tax break in Nevada.
Then you get to live in Las Vegas.
Yep. Oh, God, that's going to be great, isn't it?
And take it from me, It's fantastic. As good as you think it might be to live in Las Vegas.
You think 36 million will go a long way there?
It's better. Yeah. Trust me.
You're going to get cheap houses,
it's
huh?
It's phenomenal. Yes, it's cheap to live. There's something to do every night. It's a good time.
It's
you're
gonna
a young
be,
it's guy
be,
you with a lot of money.
Like, you know,
you couldn't be in a better place.
The challenge every coach who works in Miami has.
Yeah.
Now you're going to have with
Vegas.
The Raiders, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Because in Miami, you know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's worse
like South Beach. South Beach is undefeated, right? Like, yeah. So... Everybody, any coach of the Dolphins knows, like, I can only bring a certain type of player here because not everybody can handle it, right? Not everybody can handle everything that's right in front of them, right? And Vegas is going to be the same thing.
It's and people say, well, it worked with the NHL. The NHL
half the stuff's legal there.
It's different. You've got games every other night. You know, you're going on road trips where you're gone, and it's. Look, you got to show up at a morning skate the day after, and we see it when we down at Warrior. These guys are working their asses off. Zoe, you see these guys the way they work in practice. Is it anything approaching what you had to do in the NFL in terms of practice during the season?
No.
These guys do it to a different level. Now, they take a little bit of a break once they get into the season, but this is work. You can't go out there and do what those guys do, be out partying. Can you get away with partying a few nights a week in the NFL and then show up and get back
you
to practice
a,
after
you
a few days?
You were a Dolphin for a short while. Time,
yeah,
weren't you?
Yeah, I was there. Yep.
It's a little different down there, right?
Oh, yeah. Zach Thomas picked me up today. Up, you want to go out with us? I'm like, sure. He goes, yeah, I'll pick you up at 12. I'm like, going home. I'm like, what the hell is he picking me up at noon for? He goes, no, I'm picking you up at midnight, dumbass. I'm like, oh, great. We're going to start our night out at midnight in a car.
Yep, that's what's going to happen. All right, we'll continue with this and talk about a couple of the other players that we have not gotten to yet. Some of the big paydays out there, and who else the Patriots might be looking at. All on the way here on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
.com.
Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
Call 21. Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle. Albert Breer is here with us. It's been a pretty good week, this start of the NFL year. I mean, I know
it's been a frenzy since Friday. But like today has been a dud.
Today's been a dud, but everything happens before the actual start of the league year. And I was looking at the timeline yesterday. Like everything that has to be done by noon, and then 3 o'clock, and then 4 o'clock, and there was like 5 or 6 different deadlines. Everything's done ahead of time.
Yep.
Like, are these artificial deadlines? All this stuff, tampering period.
So people want to compare it to other sports. There's, I think the difference, like, so people compare it to baseball because baseball took forever for that market to materialize and for Manny Machado and Bryce Harper to sign. The difference is there's a cap in one sport and there isn't in the other. And so the amount of money there is in one sport is finite and it's infinite in the other, right? And so teams are able to use that to pressure play. Like, hey, look, like if you don't take this, then we're going to go and offer a part of this money to someone else. And that money's not coming back. Like, it's a big – and football players don't have the leverage that basketball players have. Basketball players can sit there because if you're a superstar player – you're getting the max. There's no real negotiating going on, right? You're just it is what it is, and teams are going to hold that spot for you. In football, too many of the players, too high a percentage of football players are replaceable, and can't like too many guys. It's like, well, if we don't want that guy, then we can go to the next guy and offer him what we were offering you. And if we do that, then that money's gone and it's not coming back. And so that's why a lot of these guys are compelled to sign so quickly because they have something in front of them. It's like, all right, you got a couple hours to decide.
But all this stuff is already in place. Like the second it hits, it's like if you weren't tampering before the legal tampering period, all nonsense.
If you guys came to the combine in Indianapolis, all right, and you walk through three hotels, you would probably walk by at least at any time over those 5 days, you would probably be walking by at least a dozen of these deals getting done. And that was 2 weeks ago, right? Like, if you walk
that's
through
not three, legal. You're not, yeah, that's not allowed.
Well, so, and you guys know the way this works. Like,
right.
They can talk because it's like, all right, like say I'm Tom Condon or I'm Drew Rosenhaus or whoever. Like, I probably have a player on your team, right? So I'm going to go and I'm going to talk to you about a player that's, hey, like, let's talk about player X that's already on your team. Oh, well, we've already also got this other guy over here, and what are you hearing on him? And like, where do you think you might be willing to go on him? And so all the conversations can kind of happen naturally because so many of the agents have players on almost every team.
And they can circle around it without actually
right.
getting right. too specific.
Right. I mean, it's look, if you're going to put everyone in the league in one place for 5 or 6 days, and think that that's not going to be rampant, you're crazy. Because these guys are all competitive with one another. The teams are competitive with one another. The agents are competitive with one another. Like, the last thing anybody wants is to be put in a spot where they're playing from behind. And so, of course, everybody's going to talk. Because you're always looking over your shoulder thinking, the next guy's talking, so I have to be.
Okay. Where's the league meetings this year, the owners meetings? That's in Arizona, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
At the Biltmore.
And I'd expect... obviously, Kraft to be out there, but the type of business is going to be done between now and then. And, you know, you look at some of the stuff here, too, with you know, Robert's situation.
Yep.
You don't expect to hear from them in a while, for a while, right? Until after this thing sucks.
I mean, like, there's all no right, reason so it's actually interesting. I've talked to some people about, like, why he would hire the legal team that he hired. And, like, maybe this is more common knowledge than I think it is, but I, having talked to a couple people, especially people down there.
Yeah.
I think they're
down where meaning
in Florida. Okay. In Florida, yeah. They're trying to get the case dropped, and the method that you do that, if you're very very wealthy, is you hire a bunch of high priced lawyers and you have them flood the prosecutor with paperwork. And I didn't know about this, but like I guess it's very very common. Like there have been a couple of cases that involved high profile guys where you know this tactic has been used.
Yeah.
And it's you hire a bunch of lawyers. And you flood the prosecutor's offices with motions.
Well, and I asked this
with
too.
All this different stuff, right? And so you just you're flooding them with paperwork and
in a relatively small office for a misdemeanor case.
And eventually, especially in a place like Palm Beach County, which is probably dealing with a ton of drug cases, which is dealing with murders, which is dealing with all this stuff, eventually the thought is they're going to throw their hands up and be like, "Screw it."
They don't want the pain in the ass part of
right.
it. But now, like today, and the reason I ask is TMZ drops the news that there's no sex trafficking involved in this case. So did we know that? Why is that?
Well, it's like, no, but didn't the report said that like none of the guys, charges. None of the guys who are charged, none of the like quote unquote Johns.
So that,
because of course,
does that help him or hurt him?
Isn't that obvious though?
Yeah,
I don't know. I thought that was sort of obvious. Like,
I'm confused why that is news.
I don't think anyone thought that like the guys who were going in there knew that this was part of some like elaborate operation, right? Like the charges wouldn't be against the guys who were coming in. The charges would be against the actual establishment and the people running the establishment, and then the people who are, I mean, like overseas, you know, supplying the establishment with women. I never thought that like any of these guys was Robert Kraft or anyone else was involved with the greater scheme here.
Is it all? And it has been my understanding that this is being done as a means to not only to protect the team's image, but the owner himself, and have him be able to be present for all the stuff, because it'd be very difficult for the NFL to sanction the team in any meaningful way that could hurt them competitively.
They're not. I don't think they'll sanction the team. I think they'll sanction him.
Right, and that's what
even
that's,
if it gets
well, that's what
out.
They're trying to avoid. I mean, it is literally personal.
I think that they would absolutely try to like avoid. You know, Robert being sanctioned. Yeah. Like, I absolutely.
That's the only thing they can't avoid, because there's nothing to avoid when it comes to things that could hurt the team.
I mean, I think that the problem, I mean, obviously his image is really important to him, like it is to most people, right? Like, and his legacy is
sure.
important. At his age, his legacy is important.
Oh, we would have been talking Hall of Fame.
Yeah. And I think, I think that's one consequence of this is that he'll still get in, but like, I think this will delay, like I think he was next in line after Pat Bowlen, right? And so I think that like there was a good likelihood that he was going in 2020. I can't imagine that that'll happen now. Like I would think that there'd have to be some sort of cooling off period. But, like, yeah, like what you're saying, like any sort of suspension, it doesn't matter how long it is, has consequences because of that first week. Because that first week, the NFL makes a big deal out of that. And that first week, you've got the owner up on the podium holding up, like when whoever is playing the concert at the, before the game and everything else, you got the home owner parading around with the Lombardi trophy. And so the fact that he won't be there, like that's the consequence of it. Like that it's going to be a talking point again in September.
And at the root of this, I mean, the NFL has turned into this, you know, billion-dollar enterprise for all of the owners, and the owners are all fabulously wealthy. So while the money is important, still at its root, that's what the owners want. And once you do it a couple of times, I would assume that it doesn't go away. You want to be able to hold up that trophy and hoist it and to have that conceivably or possibly taken away from you.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to avoid.
Well, right. I mean, like more than just, you know, yeah. Like the basically there is a natural rebirth of this story in September if he's suspended.
Yes. Okay. Blake Bortles.
What?
Great guy. Great guy.
Great guy.
Everybody likes him.
Yep. And he's a good dude. He's a legitimately good guy.
Yep. Needs a job.
So is my buddy Mike. Good guy.
Yeah.
The Patriots take a look at him.
I think so.
For what reason?
This sounds crazy.
For what? And
yeah. All right. So here's why.
No collateral. There's no risk.
You can have him for nothing.
Yeah.
Like he has. Okay. So here's the way this works. He has $6.5 million.
Well, it's a roster spot.
It's a roster spot. He has $6.5 million left. Like fully guaranteed left. Right.
Yep.
And so unless someone's willing to pay him more than $6.5 million, it doesn't matter how much he makes. Like that means nothing because he'll be able to because the Jaguars are going to carry whatever up to $6.5 million because of the offset. So if you like him, like I think the Patriots are one of those teams that liked him in 2014, and I think the team that signs him isn't going to be signing him necessarily off of his last 5 years of work. Yeah. I think it's going to be a team that liked him in 14 that thought there was something there to work with that thinks to themselves, why not?
All right.
Let's just bring him in and see what happens.
What do you think, Tim?
I'm out on Bortles.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he can play.
I just to see if you're paying attention. Good job.
He's out. Now, talk about who's out. Jim Louth has left us?
Jim, what happened in the other room? Oh, it's at 20 time?
Providence was up 7-2 on Villanova. Now they're down 15-9.
Okay, but Jim doesn't
But they just blocked an alley-oop. Yeah. It was pretty exciting.
Is that what you were cheering about?
Jim does not care so much about that as he does his
15-12.
His theory that all these early games in the tournament.
Oh, there you go, Jim.
They're not used to playing.
I agree with him.
The scores will
Weird
be low.
Daytime. Yep.
He has gone.
You think so? It's like a body clock.
It's
thing?
Like yeah. It's like whoa. What are we doing here? It's
He's gone with gym. An eight ka-tink, game bet, ka-tink. All under at the half.
Yeah.
He's gone eight games. He's going under on all of them.
You know what's the best part about it is they're all decided in 45 minutes because these first halves only take 45 minutes.
Okay. So
is there history that backs that up?
Yes, the tournament in the NCAA tournament. Yes. I'm just going with it in the conference tournaments for the same.
Oh, so you're just kind of like you don't know if there's history in the conference tournaments, but you're figuring it'll work the same way.
And how many?
It does work in the NCAA tournament. Okay. Yeah.
How many reasons did you put down on this theory, Jim?
Oh, only five.
And you could have how many reasons coming back to you?
807.
Not bad. How's it looking?
What are we, Tom? 3 for 3 so far. The three games that have tipped off were they're on pace to go under.
Ooh. Jim's an addict.
Chronic.
Football and college basketball tournaments. That's
he's,
it.
He's sneaky.
We won that last parlay for our football picks, right? That very last one of the year, we won.
Yes.
We bet five random different things.
Yeah,
we
where's
won.
My payout on that? I put money in for that.
We just reinvested $5 of it, or 5 units of it.
I wasn't consulted. 90 seconds, less than that. Tim McCone's going to get us updated quickly, and then we're going to continue with Burt Breer, who joins us here for one more segment on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
into something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
I just had one of the worst things ever happen to me.
Whoa.
So I'm emailing back and forth during the breaks with my wife, who said to me like 5 minutes ago.
It's our problem.
I just ordered pizza for everyone because it's Pie Day, right? I'm like, oh, nice.
Wait a minute.
Good for you.
Pizza where, here or?
At her work,
oh,
I assumed. As soon as we went into break there, my phone started ringing. And I didn't recognize the number. It's one of those ones that you just don't pick up anymore, right? It was 617, but I'm oh, this is... I picked it up anyway. I said, hello. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, I'm here with the pizza delivery. What? Wait, pizza delivery? I said, for who? He said, pool. I said, oh, I bet she's surprised.
Yeah.
All of us.
Nice lady.
And
hey, happy Pie Day.
Thank you, pretty lady. You said, not only did you order pizza for everyone at your office, she ordered pizza for all of us.
Right.
For some reason.
She gave your number.
My number was given with the order for her pizza at her office.
That's okay.
So for a split second, I thought she had ordered pizza for all of us.
You eat pie, McCone?
For pie.
I do.
Nice.
Yeah.
So did you tell her that pizza is not pie?
No, I didn't have a chance to get it. I'm too upset about the notion of having pizza.
Billy Lanny, your man back there looks like you eat a lot of pizza. Have you ever referred to it as pie? Like, let's get, thank you.
Does not. All right, now.
And you're not a man if you admit you eat it as pie.
Tim McCone, interstate traveler and worker. He's here. He's down Rhode Island. Television, radio, multimedia.
Legit. Yeah.
You must have an opinion on pizza.
Yeah, it's called pizza.
Yeah. Locally and elsewhere.
Rhode Island, very underrated with the pizza.
All right.
Rhode Island brings it. My favorite type of pizza, buffalo chicken. Yeah.
It's disgusting.
I actually had a good buffalo chicken pizza at Regina when we went on Saturday. Where we ordered,
did you go to the North End?
Why do you want spicy? Yeah.
So you went to the pizza. North End and you got buffalo chicken.
No. We ordered a full cheese and then another.
We're doing this now.
Another large pizza, half cheese, half pepperoni. And we saw the buffalo chicken there, so we were like, let's just order it and see how it is. It was really good.
What were there, like eight of you? You guys were going to a game afterward?
We came from the science museum. It was me, my two kids, my wife, another couple, and their two kids.
Oh, it's a good time.
Sounds like a hoot.
That science museum with about eight people on a weekend?
Yeah. I lost my kid twice.
I did that,
3 hours.
Yeah,
I've done that.
They run away, and you can't find it.
That tree thing.
And it was worse with my youngest one because he doesn't care about being lost. It does not bother him in the slightest.
Does he ever know when he's lost? Like mine at the Super Bowl.
I don't know how much you even talked about that, Zoe, but that's.
I don't think
you probably can't talk about it.
Yeah, we haven't talked about it, but that's all right.
We should.
At some point.
Did you know this bird?
No.
So, your kid got lost at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Your youngest.
Yeah.
How old?
So my wife, he's 9.
Zoe's calling the game.
So, you know where their seats were. I was there, obviously, 6 hours prior to the game. So I went and sat where their seats were. Seats are great. But it is confusing. Like, say you go in section 144. So there's 144, but it says seats 1 through 9 this way, seats 10 through whatever this way.
Yep.
So the section splits. And there's a bathroom right outside the section. So she took him. So they were getting ready for Maroon 5. And he's like, I got to go bathroom. She goes, oh, halftime's coming. We got to hurry up and go. Long line out the men's room. So he ended up letting him go in. He went in the entrance. The new bathrooms at Mercedes-Benz Stadium are like 20 yards long. So when you go in that door, you can't come back out the door. You got to go out the door down a bit.
Right.
So while he's trying to hurry up and go to the bathroom and lines and he's getting, he goes out the exit. She's still standing waiting for him.
At the entrance.
Waiting. 10 minutes go by, 20, Brody. He has a guy going. She's screaming, looking for him. Can't find him.
Oh,
goes back to the
once
seats,
again.
Runs
Brody
back to the seat where my daughter's.
How old?
9.
9 years old. Lost at the
like truly losing your. There's nothing more terrifying. You know than when you truly think you've lost your kid.
You know what downtown Atlanta's like.
And, yeah.
And so she calls me. It was right before halftime. We're ready to come back on. She calls me hysterical. Like, okay, just be calm here. I'm like, well, you're hysterical. Why are you telling me to be calm? She goes, I can't. I lost Brody.
I go, what do you mean? He just, you know, he'll be our bait. She goes, no, he's been gone for like 25 minutes.
Oh. And you're getting ready to go back on the air to call the second half.
And I'm trying to get Jim, and he and Dennis, they run up and to go help her because she went back to the seat because Sam was sitting in the seat. My daughter was.
Yep.
She goes, no, Bert never came back. He was so excited to see Maroon 5. He heard it, went to the bathroom, ran back up, but at the split, went to the section over. And
okay.
Sat down. And he, thank God I had the lanyard around his lap, you know, all the tickets and lanyard. And he looked down. Okay, wrote. Okay, he went in the wrong section, but in the same right seat.
Right seat, wrong section. Yeah,
which was empty because it was halftime.
Because some lady was out getting beer. She came back. Hey, honey, here you are. He goes, oh, this is my seat. She goes, let me see your ticket. No, that's not your seat. Let's go find your mom.
Oh my god.
She looks over and there's Amy and my daughter crying, waiting for her.
thinking Brody's like,
and I'm just waiting. You're waiting, and we're
thinking Brody's been like abducted or something.
5 minutes. You know, I had to come back, walk back to Mercedes-Benz house. You know, it's halftime, Patriots lead.
How long was he?
So when you came, when you came back, did you think he was gone? Like when you went back on the air, you thought he was he'd vanished, right?
Well, I was freaking out.
Yeah,
yeah, because you don't know what's going on. So,
and how was he?
It was fine.
Callen, fine.
He said, didn't care. They were mad they missed halftime. He was so happy. He's like, let's go to halftime, Joe.
We lost our oldest in a high school football game. That was fairly terrifying because, like, we're in our town, like, there's woods everywhere around it and everything else.
Nice.
And so, like, we thought we lost him, and it was like for, I'd say like 10 minutes, we legit thought he was, like, gone.
What, did he leave your seat at the football game?
Where was he?
He was, like, on the hill. Like he'd gone and found somewhere. Like, he'd gone running over to the hill with a bunch of other kids when we were, like, watching the younger one. He'd gone running over to this, like, hill that's on the side of the high school field, and he was, like, just screwing around over there.
Yeah, yeah. Calvin did it once at a cranberry festival, and he was not only at first lost, but then he was hiding behind a tree watching all the commotion as we're talking with the state
troopers. Well, when we used to go to the mall.
Rallying the troops to start the search party. Like, you know, get down with snorkels into the cranberry bog and start looking for him.
Can't find me now.
Yeah, he's looking. Look at him. Idiots. I'm right here. If they looked behind this tree, they would see me.
It used to piss me off. We'd go to the mall. Like, you're walking through Macy's. When he was little, when he was like 2 or 3, he'd get under the clothes racks in the middle and go sit there. And not make a noise.
Love it. Love it.
Throwing clothes.
I'm glad we got to this before you left, Bert. I hope there wasn't anything else football related that you
wanted
to
cover. I'm good if you guys are good.
Anything,
all right.
Anything break late? Anything? Get in?
I mean, Le'Veon Bell's contract sucks. You guys can check that out on Twitter if you want.
He would have made more money in Pittsburgh, and people keep trying to cut it eight.
No, he lost. Like,
of course, he lose.
He lost.
All right. If something massive happens, though, please feel free to check back in with us. And you're going to be back on with Toucher and Rich tomorrow morning, I believe.
I'm not sure they even asked me yet, but hey, Fred and Rich, if you want to call them around.
All right. Very good. Albert Breer, appreciate the time. Thank you very much. More Zolak and Bertrand coming up here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle, joining us now, head coach of the New England Revolution, Brad Friedel. Brad, thank you so much for taking time for our weekly chin wag here. Wait a second, that's Scott and Weymouth. That's not Brad Friedel. We don't want to bring him up. We gotta get Coach. There you go. Thank you for joining us. Yeah, we got him.
All right. Hey guys, how are you?
Good. Excellent. Coach, how you doing? Hey, obviously talked to you last week. Started the season with a tie. The home opener, 2-0, you lose that one. A little bit of a setback for you after you know, what happened on Saturday?
Yeah, so the second half was we were quite happy with, and we were on top in the game, and we missed a penalty. I feel if we score that, then we go on to win the game. First half, we weren't very happy with. It was not a lot of energy. I think if you were a supporter in the stands, probably were pleased with the way we defended. They only had one shot, although they were up 1-0 at halftime. It was from that shot. They didn't have too many chances against us, but nor did we against them. And we weren't getting enough bodies forward. So we tried to correct that at halftime, which we did a little bit. Yeah. But that's something we have to do much, much better at going into our next game.
Were you surprised? Sorry, Hardy. Were you surprised that you came out as flat as you did, it being the home opener?
Absolutely. Yeah, without a doubt. And it was something that was not foreseen with the way that the players trained during the week leading up to the game. The players were full of confidence based on the second half performance against Dallas. Everything was very high energy, high tempo, and for whatever reason, for the first, maybe after the first 5 to 8 minutes, it was just very, very drab from that point on until halftime. And then when we brought on Diego and brought on Justin Renick, it provided a little bit of a spark. And then when we brought on Tejan again at the end of the game, it was another little spark, but sort of too little too late. You can't do that in professional games, is give away a half, and that's what we did.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the first 5 to 8 minutes. I would have gone as much as 10, where I thought you guys looked pretty good, especially with stifling stuff in the middle third there. But you also mentioned the penalty kick, and I got to ask you, because I already I used to bug Shalry about this, and I bugged Clyde Sims about it in the post-game show. I said, listen, nothing for nothing, but why don't you guys go up the middle ever on these penalty kicks? And I would love to know, as a former keeper, did guys ever just try and take those penalty kicks and go right at you in the middle? Because it seems the keeper almost always commits before the kick is taken, and a middle shot would have a really good chance of going in.
Yeah, what I would say is the bigger the occasion, and professional games are big occasions, going high down the middle, it has a tremendously high percentage of scoring. Left-footed takers generally on a huge percentage basis hit it to the goalkeeper's left. And then if you hit it halfway up the goal height, it goes into the really high percentages of scoring as well. And, Christian Pena was off the field at the time. He's normally the designated penalty taker. I think Teal had missed his last one. We played away at RSL, so Diego grabbed the ball off him. And I'll never blame a player for missing a penalty, of course. It's not a... it's not something that every player wants to do, and you have to have the confidence to step up and take it. And Zach Steffen made a good save. But, each penalty taker has their own nuances. As a goalkeeper, I would agree with you. Hitting it high and hard up the middle is definitely hard to save, because you're usually going to be leaning one way or the other.
Finally, somebody gives me just an ounce of agreement on this, because Clyde looked at me like, Clyde is a nice guy, but he just shook his head.
I think that also takes the most gut, so to speak, to do it, because you're essentially hitting it where the goalkeeper is standing.
You think you're embarrassed by missing a penalty kick when you're trying to go to one of the corners, going right up the middle, right into the chest of the keeper. That probably wouldn't feel too good.
Correct. And if you don't hit it high enough up in the goal going centrally, then the goalkeeper can save it with the legs, and that happens quite often.
Hey, it's obviously early in the year. You guys are heading up over the border going to Toronto this weekend. It's their home opener, but they coming off a bye week early. I mean, is it tough to get a beat on them when you really don't see them play that much?
And it's been an interesting preseason for them as well. They've had some good results and poor results and good performances and some not-so-good performances. They could have Jozy Altidore back for fitness. We'll have to wait and see on that. They don't have Javinko. They don't have Jansen. They don't have Vasquez. They've all left the club. They've brought in Terrence Boyd, but Hamilton's played the last couple of games. So they have a few things that they could throw our way, and we're going to try to prepare to be ready for all of them. But I think one thing that'll be that our fans can be rest assured of is we'll be far more aggressive, especially in the attack.
All right. Last week was National Cereal Day. Today it's Pie Day. It's
three, lucky you.
314. You've played and traveled all over the world. Best pizza you've ever had.
Why do you do the pizza with the pie?
Okay.
Ask him a dessert pie. Like, what is your favorite type of pie?
Is it a pizza pie or is it a dessert pie?
Yeah, it's exactly. Pizza's not pizza. It's not pie.
Okay. Well, you can do one or the other, Coach, or both.
Do the dessert one.
Oh, it's apple crumble all day long.
Apple crumble? It's almost, I don't even know if I'd call
it. It's compact.
Okay.
But it's a pie. It is a pie.
That's a solid pie. It's dense.
You can't even dispute it.
No, it's dense.
Is it served in a pie dish? It's not in a casserole dish, is it? Yeah.
No, it's in a pie dish.
Okay.
If you want it to be.
Okay.
It's simple. Apple crumble. Belichick's a pumpkin pie guy.
Pumpkin pie's not bad.
Okay. All right.
Not bad. That would probably be my second. Or this, I'm going to throw another one out at you. Cream de menthe pie.
Oh, does it have actual cream de menthe in it? I would think so.
Ooh. It does.
Get you a little loopy?
It depends on who's making it, I guess.
I suppose it does. All right. How's that big acquisition going? Ready to join the squad any day now?
I hope so. We are. We're another hour and a half in the office this morning. Trying to speed things up. So we'll see.
Okay. Well, we're waiting for it, and we'll be watching this Sunday. Coach, appreciate the time.
Coach.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right. There he goes. Coach Brad Fiedel, the coach of the New England Revolution here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You were doing a lot of name dropping there. He's Hardy going around the horn there at the pitch. And,
well, I've been doing games for the Revolution, the pre-half and post-game with Shelry Joseph, who is, he would take offense when you would call him, one of the best midfielders from the Revolution. He said one of the best in the MLS ever. And he was like a super nice and chill guy. He's from Grenada. He's got a very chill way about him. Is it Grenada?
I say Grenada.
Okay. But he wanted it known that he was one of the best to ever play in the MLS. Clyde Sims is also a great guy, but you learn.
Ding.
It's like watching football with Zoe.
I'll take that as my takeaway, the ding button.
It's like watching football with Zoe. You learn so much about the game, and I've been watching games with either Shelry or Clyde
now.
That's
a good question on the penalty kick. Good question on penalty kick.
He agreed with me.
Stick it right in the
middle. Go high up the middle on these guys. You can't do it every time.
That's high, let it fly.
Because you get a scouting report on the opposing teams. It's like, here's what you got to know about the Revolution. Friedel decided at some point these guys were just going to go down the middle line every time. So don't commit. You're going to have a better chance of these guys going middle on you than any other team will face all year. So it's not going to work consistently. But every once in a while, especially they ended up losing 2-0, which and the last goal of the game wasn't total garbage, but they were pressing and Zardes got free, and he scored what was essentially what would be the equivalent of an empty netter in hockey. There's no one back to defend. Nice. It was a one-goal game.
Another nice recap right there.
That penalty kick, that changes the whole complexion of the game.
I wasn't a fan of the apple crumble answer.
I don't even know where you'd get apple crumble.
I don't know what it is.
You could say, hey, apple crumble's on a menu. It's like,
is it apple pie with like stuff crumbled on top?
It's like the buttered crumble that they put on top with the sugar and cinnamon, but it gets compacted down. It's almost like a pecan pie type texture, crumble. Yeah. See, I like the thick apple pie, but like you get that apple crumble, it really gets down tight.
McComb, when are the Bruins play next?
Tonight.
Just double checking, making sure you're paying attention. Scott and Weymouth wants to talk about the Bruins, who we have not mentioned yet all day. So we will do that right after your hub headlines there, Timothy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.